Scott Epstein and Jeffrey Friedman are Academy Award-winning filmmakers for their documentary feature films, The Times of Harvey Milk and Common Threads. Their new biopic, Howl, starring James Franco as Allen Ginsberg, opens in theaters September 24th. Hi, Rob and Jeffrey.
Hello.
Tell us about Howl.
Well, first we call it a poem pick, not a biopic. And the reason we call it a poem pick rather than a biopic is that people go in expecting a traditional biographical narrative. They may be not getting what they're expecting. But poem pick, we feel, sort of sets it up in a way that's a little more indicative of what the film really is. You know, it's a very layered piece about a poem.
How did you become involved in the production?
The project was brought to us by the Ginsberg Estate, who asked us if we were interested in making a film about Howl. So that was where it began. Then we started looking at the poem and realizing that it was this really pivotal moment in the culture that was really kind of underdocumented. We got more and more excited about it. You know, then we realized we had to figure out a way to make a movie out of a poem, and that's when we got down to hard work and research and trying to come up with some new form that we thought would do justice to the revolutionary nature of Ginsberg's original work.
The animation in the film really added an amazing level to it. How did that come about?
We discovered the work of Eric Drucker, who is the animation designer in the film. And he had collaborated with Allen Ginsberg on a book called Illuminated Poems, which consisted of original illustrations by Eric along with text from Allen's poetry. And we thought that there was such an interesting relationship between those two that we got excited about the idea of taking that a step further and working with Eric to create animated images to go along with Howl. We also felt that it was a language to make the poem live in a very contemporary way within this historical drama, yet still we could have the visuals be true to the period that it's representing, and it was a way to have the poem live in a very alive way as cinema within the movie.
I know you've been playing the film festival circuit. How is Howl being received?
Audiences really seem to like it. We've had really packed audiences, and they've been very absorbed, you know, which is wonderful. I mean, it's a film about poetry, but it's also a film about language and what's acceptable in language, and are there acceptable limits to free speech, and what's the role of an artist, and what does it mean to be an artist, and all of these themes are things that have been, I think, really resonating with audiences.
And it's also the story about a man finding love, and that giving him the confidence and the sense of self to find his true artistic voice.
Yeah.
That's certainly how Allen described his own experience.
You have a really stellar cast in this production. How did that come about?
Well, we got really lucky. First of all, we have an amazing cast in the film, the best of the best, starting with James Franco, the lead, who plays Allen Ginsberg. And we were introduced to James through Gus Van Sant, the director, who was in San Francisco shooting his movie Milk. And Gus read the screenplay for Howl, our screenplay, and liked it and suggested showing it to James Franco, which we did, and James liked it. And then we had a meeting with him, and in that meeting we learned a lot about James that we didn't know beforehand, that he was, in fact, studying to get a degree in literature at UCLA and had grown up reading the Beat writers, and was familiar with our work, and we watched his work before that meeting and saw the range of brilliant performances he had done up until that point. And he was also exactly the same age that Allen was when he wrote the poem Howl, so it all seemed very synergistic. And then the rest of the cast, John Hamm, who plays the defense attorney, David Strathairn, who plays the prosecutor, each of them read the screenplay and wanted to be involved in the project. They just really thought it was great and something very different and wanted to be part of it.
Tell us about the screening that's going to happen at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston on September 16th.
Well, we're going to be there. I know we're going to be there. That's as much as we know.
Yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to see some friends.
And we hope it's a good screening. We hope people come.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
First of all, we're artists. And our role as artists is to tell stories that we find to be significant that haven't been told otherwise. And that's what we always look for. And the subjects that we tend to be drawn to have been queer in nature and orientation. I can't say that that's anything conscious or deliberate. It's more instinctual. And I think that's probably true for how most artists operate. You know, you're just going on your own instincts because in the end, that's all you can really rely upon. But I would like to think that our work has made a contribution. Certainly, anecdotally, what we hear from people, that's so.
I thought that Howell was really mapping out quite a picture of being gay in the 50s that was, you know, it really gave you shivers.
Yeah. That's one of the amazing things, that the poem was such a free expression of sexual joy and homosexual joy specifically, which, you know, Alan identifies as the key to, you know, what sort of set the creative gears going to make that poem. So it's kind of a wonderful to try to recreate and understand.
You know, we were both very surprised by and taken with the fact that Hell is such a queer manifesto, and to think that this was written in 1955 and published in 1956 at a point where nobody could speak to the fact of homosexuality or even to the, you know, the actuality of their own experience was so revolutionary.
And, you know, homosexuality is never mentioned in this trial. The trial is really about free speech and sexuality and dirty words. It's not about homosexuality, but that always seems to be the unspoken subtext. In that sense, it says so much about the time. It was the love that dare not speak its name, right?
Absolutely, and I didn't realize that it was absolutely the groundbreaking piece of literature for that genre of literature.
The obscenity trial, the verdict, even though it was a municipal court case in San Francisco, set a precedent that still holds up to this day.
It definitely set a precedent in the thinking of the culture. You know, it was a landmark. I would say it was a legal landmark more than a precedent.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers. How can we turn this around and send a positive message to these kids?
I think all of us living our lives as we do is sending a positive message to these kids. And however we can make, you know, a contribution to that, sending a message to these kids. I think that's, you know, it has to start with each of us as individuals. And that was the big cultural shift that happened in the 70s was when people started coming out, and then society couldn't identify us until we self-identified. That's what Harvey Milk's message was all about. That was just the starting point. So, you know, it has to start with each of us as individually, and we build from there. But certainly for young kids today, I mean, you turn on the television and you watch Glee and see Chris Colfer and his relationship with his father that brings me to tears each week I watch it. That's certainly sending a very positive and very beautiful message to any gay teen and to any parent of a gay teen. And that's very hopeful.
I think kids need to be loved. We just need to love our children, you know, whoever they turn out to be. As long as they're good people, you have to make them good people and love them. You know, these kids just feel unloved and rejected for who they are. It's really sad.
Howell will be released on September 24th. How can people get info about the film?
HowellTheMovie.com. If you go to that website, you can get all the information you need in terms of where it will be playing and when it's opening. And you can find out more about the poem, more about Ginsberg, more about us.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
We hope that people will go to see the film with an open mind. You were asking earlier about what would we like people to come out of the film having experienced, and I think it's just an open-mindedness that just makes you more sensitive to everything in life, which is something that Alan articulated so well and so beautifully, that's in order to be a writer, in order to really understand what it means to be a writer or to be an artist of any kind. You have to be open.
mantra to get you through times like these?
Well, I have one that comes from Alan, that you know, when we were making the movie, it just kind of kept ringing in my head, which is everyday awareness. I may not be able to live by that mantra every day, but it's one that I like to hold on to.
Yeah, that's a good one, and also, let there be no running from non-existent destroyers of morals.
That's a line from the film that John Hamm's character, Jay Gerlich, the defense attorney, uses in his closing argument to talk about scapegoatism, and that ultimately what the Howell trial was about from his perspective